The date is August 9th, 2002, and we're watching Triple X. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Xander Cage to my Augustus Gibbons.
Fuck yeah. Welcome to the Xander Zone. It's Colin Stewart.
So this week, we're looking back at August 2002 when the movies and theaters were Signs, The Country Bears, The Crocodile Hunter Collision Course, Austin Powers in Goldmember, I'll tell you which theater I was in August 2002, and of course our movie for today, Triple X, which earned $277.44 million on a $70 million budget.
Nice. Not too shabby.
Yeah.
Well, as always, there will be spoilers ahead, so if you don't... I already used Xander Zone, so I can't use that twice.
Why? He does.
If you don't, I guess. If you don't want to go down by a seafaring drone carrying chemical weapons, then hit pause, go watch the movie, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
So, I found two taglines that appear on the poster for this movie. The first is, a new breed of secret agent.
I mean, that's the one I feel like I remember seeing.
Yeah. And the second one, if you want someone to save the world, make sure it's someone who likes the world as it is. A line that I don't understand. We have to get to that line at some point in this movie, but I don't quite understand that line. But anyway.
I'm shocked Xander Zone wasn't a tagline. I'm also shocked that there wasn't anything about like taking it to the extreme or anything like that.
Yeah. Like I would like this movie spells extreme with three X's. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like how the title, they have to make sure that the capital X is in the middle to make sure it's set apart from pornography. You know,
it is doing
lowercase,
research,
uppercase, lowercase.
Doing research for this movie was very difficult.
And dangerous, yes.
And dangerous. Yes.
But those may not be very good descriptions of this movie, so let's go to Colin and get a 60-second synopsis.
All right. After his prototype tuxedo-clad secret agent gets killed while trying to investigate a new metal-infused crime syndicate called Anarchy 99, Agent Gibbons, decides that he needs to think outside the box and recruits extreme sports' biggest underground hero, Xander Cage, to be America's new super spy. Using his exceptional skill set as a criminal and anti-establishment lowlife, Xander has no trouble infiltrating Anarchy 99 and making pals with their leader, Yorgi. Xander quickly begins to fall for the beautiful Yelena, who is also looking for a way out and also happens to be a Russian secret agent herself, and discovers there's more to Anarchy 99 than women and stolen cars around the time he gets made and they try to kill him. With his cover blown, Gibbons tries to send X home, but he's not having it. Instead, he uses his extreme sports repertoire of rock climbing, snowboarding, street racing, and parasailing to rescue Yelena and take out a drone equipped with chemical weapons before it can be detonated in the city of Prague. After saving the day, the girl, and the world, Xander takes a well-earned vacation with Yelena in Bora Bora, where he shows her his Xander Zone. There you go.
Oh, nice touch on the end there. You missed motocross
motocross. I forgot about
that. Yeah, because I mean, Vin Diesel did not even know how to ride a motocross bike before this movie, and did 3 months of intensive training with experts to learn how. There apparently, Vin Diesel did a lot of his own stunts on this movie. I have questions about that, but we'll get to that. For me, Triple X, I have a weird history with Triple X because I never saw it in theaters. However, I received a DVD copy as a gift while the movie was still in theaters. Bum, bum, bum. How does that happen in 2002? So I have a copy of Triple X, which is like a cam version that was sold in Chinatown somewhere. And that's the only time I've ever seen Triple X is once I watched this DVD, and I've never seen it since. So this was practically a first-time watch for me.
For shame.
I enjoyed going to Triple X. I have seen all three of them. But, yeah, it's they're one-time watches for me. But I enjoyed going back. But so that's my history with Triple X. I have one weird bootleg DVD in my, you know, unusually large DVD collection that I have in this day and age when I don't need a DVD collection for the integrity. But yeah, I have this one bootleg DVD that was given to me as a gift in 2002 while the movie was still in theaters. So that's my history. What about you, Colin? Triple X.
Well, I mean, if our listeners haven't sussed this out by now, like, I like to refer to the period of 2000 to about 2003 as my Vin Diesel period when it came to movie watching.
it's like Picasso's blue period, you know. That's Colin's Renaissance of Vin Diesel.
Those were the VD years.
Oh, no. Don't isolate that
yeah,
audio.
Yeah, that's
2002 were the VD years. Oh, boy.
But, yeah, I mean, I love Triple X. And I remember I was kind of an outlier on that even when it came out. I remember talking to people and they thought this movie was absolute trash, but I love this movie. I couldn't wait to get my hands on a DVD of it. I saw it in the theaters. It was like, it was just everything I loved. I remember I had the soundtrack. I was big into soundtracks back in the day and buying CDs. And I had the soundtrack to this movie. And I loved that it had this like techno remix of Bodies by Drowning Pool, which was a pretty sick song at the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I can't understate how much how much I love this movie. It's just, watching it now, this movie is such, like, time capsule to me of that early 2000s. Yeah. Basically, between 2000 and 2004, where, like, you know, the X Games were massive.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk
is in this movie.
Yeah, you know? Like new metal was huge.
Yeah, Rammstein and shit. Like, yeah,
it's this movie just was everything I loved in my like junior high school years. So yeah, it will always hold an affectionate place in my heart.
Yeah, I will say for this viewing, I did find myself a better copy, so I did not watch a shitty cam version on DVD. So yeah, so I was able to experience this movie better than I had before. The cam version isn't terrible, but, I mean, it's still a fucking cam version. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, let's jump into Triple X, directed by Rob Cohen, who we talked about in Dragonheart. Actress Asia Argento actually accused Rob Cohen for Bill Cosby-ing her.
Really?
Yeah. I had not heard of this. I guess it must not have been something that happened on the set of Dragonheart. But yeah, the actress in this movie, I guess, accused him of drugging her and sexually assaulting her.
Bad Rob.
If that is true, wow. I mean, it's just something I stumbled across in my deep dive of the internet that I go on, my heavy research that I do. It's produced by Neil H. Moritz, and it's written by Richard Wilkes. And right in the opening, boom, they just hit you with that Triple X, just comes at you. And we got German death metal, and we're right into the action. I mean, it is heavy metal James Bond. It really is Extreme X Games, James Bond.
Yeah, I never picked up when I was younger that, I guess, how much they're pushing basically, like, this isn't your grandpa's spy or your dad's spy movie. Like, even to have this guy is like a, because it's basically the whole premise of this I would almost dare call it like a cold open is like you know, basically like the James Bond stand-in comes down with his tuxedo and everything, goes into this thing and immediately just like stands out like a sore thumb and get sniped and killed. So
yeah, and this is your opening to Mission Impossible. This is your opening to The Kingsman. This is the
And they're even showing like he has all his like little gadgets and stuff that he's like normal spy gadgets that you would see. But I think when I was younger, like I don't even think I'd seen a James Bond film at this point. So all that or Mission Impossible, to be honest.
Austin Powers.
Yeah, like literally Austin Powers probably would have been my only lead-in, but yeah. I just remember thinking it was sweet that Rammstein was in a movie.
Yeah. Well, one thing I've never understood about the spy genre is like the tuxedo trope. I mean, obviously, like you gotta look classy and everything, but like you're in a European square and you're wearing like tuxedo shoes. Like you can't run in that shit.
Yeah, I mean,
I've worn dress shoes, cobblestone streets.
I think even if you're assuming that, you know, whatever agency they work for is giving them like specially designed shoes to accommodate for that type of thing.
I suppose
like,
so.
How bad is this spy that he doesn't know what he's walking into? Was my thought. Like
when he walks into the death metal club.
Yeah, like, do you not know who you're tracking or who you're supposed to be spying on? Is this your first day? Like, isn't the job of a spy essentially to just go unnoticed and fit in? I don't think
you should have a little intel.
Yeah. like I would have loved it if he had some nicely like printed embroidered card that was to some dinner party and he thinks he's like walking in and all of a sudden it's this, you know, mosh pit cesspool. But
yeah,
I just you're not a very good spy in my opinion if you don't know what you're walking into and aren't dressed appropriately. But
yeah, no, absolutely not.
Again, yeah, no. I think that the point of the movie was basically to just do away with the old guard.
Yeah, maybe that's the point, is they show that, okay, no, this style of secret agent isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously they don't do their fucking homework.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know how to dress like that. Like he's incapable. He's absolutely incapable.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, at least it makes him an easy target in the club. I like the fact that his dead body gets bounced around in the mosh pit for a while.
Yeah, I would have liked to see how that ended. Like at one point they just like dump him off at the end and people are just like, oh, party too hard, man. Can't control your liquor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or get some of the guys to weaken a Bernie's him out of there.
Yeah.
So when they cut to Washington and we see the hidden base for the first time, I thought that was kind of a cool special effect where they like go through the mountain and like through the vents and everything like that, down to see Samuel L. Jackson with his face all fucked up for a different reason in a different movie.
Yeah, yeah, whoever the like cinematic cinematographer, I guess, maybe of this movie, like they really love those convoluted, like I feel like they had just got their hands on some sort of CGI like pro software and were like, oh, I need to do as many of these cool like fade in fade out things as I can to get us from to where we need to go.
No, there was definitely some touches of CGI throughout this movie. I definitely noticed, and some of them I think were doing like face replacements on the stuntmen, which is why I have the questions when it comes to like Vin Diesel. You know, the fact that apparently he did most of his own stunts, like the car going off the bridge. I don't think that was him on top of that.
No, they had a. From what I read, they had like a Vin Diesel mask that they put on the stuntman. But yeah, I don't think he was doing anything that would have things like that, where it's like, if you fuck this up, you're dead. But like, I don't think he was doing any of that stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so when we see Samuel L. Jackson for the first time, sorry, I need to back up again. There's something cheesy about the set. I don't know whether, did they think that this looked really good, or there's something a little, I don't know, there's something that looks very set-like about it. I'm not articulating myself correctly here, but.
Like, it just it looked too clean.
There's a cheesiness to it.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of.
It reminded me of an Austin Powers set.
Yeah, or even I don't know, almost like the. I remember the thing, it kind of looked like the military set in Independence Day when they go into the science lab.
See, I'm thinking of the way that the doors open and close. It even gives me a Get Smart vibe. Where it's just that's why I lean towards Austin Powers, a Dr. Evil lair. Is it just the one inside the mountain? Like, it feels like Dr. Evil's volcano lair.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to know how much of the spy the spy aspect, I guess, was they're trying to almost parody maybe. Old school James Bond or stuff like that.
Oh, they had to have been, yeah. There had to have been some tongue-in-cheek type ideas going on when it came to that script.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it came to the gadget guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's some ridiculous... And he puts all that shit in the car, and all of it is useless when he finally gets his car back with all that shit in it. None of it is useful at all to his actual task.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they put in a flamethrower for really no reason.
Yeah.
They don't need to use it.
And would a flamethrower work on a moving car? I think your car would have to be parked for a flamethrower to work properly. Otherwise, you'd just be driving into flame.
Yeah, that's true. Unless it was a really explosive jet stream.
Yeah.
But even still, you would need something to concentrate it. But I feel when it does get set off, it does come back at them.
Yeah. So it's a useless item anyway. But it's just so that we can have the scene where he says, I want all that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so back to Xander. The introduction of Vin Diesel. He steals the car from the senator, who is, a world-class prick.
Well, I can't remember. Another thing about this movie that I found hilarious was even his, wasn't the reason why they stole the car because he was, trying to ban, video games or something?
I didn't even know. I didn't catch half of what he was saying in his live stream of the event.
I feel like it's something about it had something to do with video games. But anyways, there's a whole bunch of there's a line later on where Xander's they're in the cave trying to track down Yorgi at the end, and the guy's like, you got to think less police and more PlayStation, and basically saying it's just there are times where I get it's Vin Diesel, he's super cool, he's at the apex of his career at this point. But then there are also certain lines like that that are written where I feel like, I don't know, a 40-year-old, out-of-touch person was writing a line that they thought was going to appeal to some PlayStation video game-loving teenager. And I'm just like,
You know what's funny, though, is I looked at it completely different, because I looked at it as... the company that made this movie is Sony, and they were just doing a name drop of one of their products. They got their grubby hands on the script.
Touche, touche.
And I think that's a perfect time for Sponsorship Corner. So always on the lookout for product placements in movies. This week, Triple X is brought to you by Chevrolet, Pontiac, and Ferrari cars. Sony was fucking everywhere. His cameras that he was streaming with in the car and everything, like the computers were Vios. Everything was Sony. Motorola and Kodak, Vans and Joe Rocket Clothing, Lufthansa Airlines, and Husqvarna Motorcycles. I only know them as a chainsaw company, but I guess they make motorcycles as well. Plus the possibly fictional Financial Times and Dr. Bellinger's bandages and cocaine. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. So, like, a good half of this movie is them, like, testing him. But they don't really ever tell him what the plan is. Like, that seems like a poor business model to me, to just, like, dump him off somewhere and not tell him anything.
Yeah. When I was watching the movie this time, I kind of felt a gap is not explaining why Xander has the skills that he has.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like I get the feeling that he is some type of ex-military or, like, something. Because it's like, why is he so adept at, like, noticing all these things?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I was waiting for the moment where he had the Bourne identity or the Chuck download in his brain where he was reactivated as an agent. You know, I was waiting for the Bucky in Winter Soldier moment. Yeah. You know, like someone gives him the password and suddenly he's a fucking special agent. That's where I thought this movie was going. And I was surprised that it wasn't. Again, I've seen this movie once on a shitty DVD copy. Shitty bootleg DVD copy. So it's, you know, I didn't know this movie well enough. It was a pretty fresh watch for me, and I enjoyed that about that, because I did expect the one thing, and it's like, oh no, they've just got this batshit idea to throw an untrained person in. Yeah, a little backstory would have been nice. A little some sort of history of, you know, oh, this guy was special ops. Yeah.
I'm cool with the diner one as just like a test. I think that's a fun scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, when they take them to
Colombia
and they throw these guys and they're in a real situation, I'm like, I don't know. That doesn't seem to, like, that seems criminal at that point.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah.
Yeah. Even the Suicide Squad gets more of a briefing than these guys got.
Yeah.
Right, like he wakes up on the plane, and his first words are,
"The diner."
Oh well, that's funny. Yeah. I live for this shit. Can't forget that. That's awesome.
Yeah, Triple X, man. Triple X should have been a better franchise than it ended up being. All the pieces were there for this banger after banger.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It could have gone on like the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the weird thing, is Fast and the Furious turned into Triple X.
I know. Like, exactly. I was going to say, exactly. That's pretty much exactly what did end up happening.
And they gave Ice Cube one shot at it, and it's like, no, didn't work. That's who's in the third one, right? Ice Cube, right?
No, he's in the second one. So, yeah, there was... There were, like, contract negotiations between Vin Diesel and the producers that broke down, so they decided to make Triple X State of the Union with Ice Cube, and then Triple X 3 is the return of Xander Cage.
Right.
Because they realized, you know, that's who we actually want is Triple X.
Yeah.
But in that one, there is a scene where you realize, like, because Triple X is, like, a program, which makes no sense because it's literally his tattoo.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But all of a sudden, it's the Triple X program, and then, you know, there's a whole bunch of agents that show up in the third one to save the day. But
apparently, Vin Diesel actually has no tattoos in real life.
Yeah, just surprising.
Yeah, he seems like the type that would have, like, I don't know, a rock caliber tattoo.
Wow. Sore spot between those two. Let's hope they can make up in time for Fast and the Furious 11.
Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. But anyways, the Columbia scene, I remember back in the day watching the special features on my DVD, and because I feel like that's the motocross heavy scene, but I remember even watching it the first time thinking, oh, how convenient that when that giant barn explodes, there's just a ramp right there for the bike to come down on.
Fucking cool stunt. I mean, sweet like stunts. That's the thing is, like, I give it up for the stunts. And I even look past the fact that we get, like, quintuple shots of, like, certain things, because there are some cool things happening. Like, the dive through the barbed wire, even though that is so clearly not Vin Diesel on that bike, that is a cool stunt. And same with, yeah, the barn exploding is so amazing. Like, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I like it too. He has the one where he knocks the guard off the like the watchtower thing, doing a motocross trick.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which again, it's just I wonder sometimes if somebody watched this movie now, if they would get it in a sense, because it's just I cannot overstate how much, like, the X Games were massive. They were a massive thing when this movie came out, and I don't know. Like, it informs so much about it.
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, Tony Hawk in the movie, he's the guy driving the car in the bottom of the canyon when he jumps off. He's driving the getaway car saying, "Did you get all the cameras?" That's Tony Hawk. So, I mean,
I think Cary Hart and Matt Hoffman are also in that part too. Yeah, or they're at least in the party after.
So you get, like, all these X Games legends signing off on this shit. They're saying, yeah, Xander Cage is okay by us.
I mean, it's so funny when those guys come up and they're like, "Oh, like, we heard about your new trick," and it's like Vin Diesel. I don't know. It's just weird to be like, "Oh yeah, it's Xander Cage," but at the same time, it's Vin Diesel talking to, like, Tony Hawk or Cary Hart or whoever. Like,
yeah,
and you're just like, these are. I don't want to say they're lowering themselves by being in this movie, but I don't know. If I was them, I don't know that I would feel comfortable letting somebody, like, it's such self-service to, like, use these guys to basically, like, give this character credibility. It's a weird thing I don't feel like happens a lot nowadays.
But, you know, look at the Mighty Ducks, where you bring in someone like Mike Modano, where it's like, okay, because Wayne Gretzky came by to congratulate them, you know, like,
yeah, that's a good, that's exactly what it's like. It's like Mike Modano saying Gordon Bombay should have made it to the NHL. Like,
yeah.
It was this close.
Yeah. I did like seeing Danny Trejo, and I guess, the rope thing, hanging from a rope and climbing up, is just Vin Diesel's thing. He did it in Pitch Black. Doesn't he do it in at least one of the Fast and the Furious? There's got to be one where he's been roped up with his arms hanging over his head.
100%. That's like his thing. I mean, he didn't have to, like, dislocate his shoulders in this one, but
no,
still.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, no, that, yeah, the Columbia thing, though, is... So you say that it was still a real thing, because I didn't pick up on that part. Like, I thought it was just they took the ruse to the extreme. I didn't realize he was on a real mission. I thought it was another diner test.
No, I thought that, like, the soldiers that take the moat at the end were like the there, backup? But it's like. But it's like they show the like American helicopters come in basically afterwards and, like, raise the place. Okay. So I thought that Yeah, it was like a, it was basically like they threw them in and were kind of like hanging back to like maybe save the day when things got bad, but like it was a real
It's
situation.
such a weird strategy. You know, like throw these guys
Yeah,
in.
like what if he just killed?
One guy that's obsessed with cocaine to the point that he's risking his life to grab this package of cocaine during a shootout. And it's like, really? These are the guys you're going to throw in there and hope that something happens? Hey, let's see what happens when we throw these guys in the mix. They won't be expecting this. They pull the pin on the Vin Diesel grenade and just toss him in. I don't know. Like, because they work well together. That's the thing we find out is, you know, once they realize, oh shit, this is actual blood on Machete's machete, that they signal to each other with eyes and shit and manage to take everybody out. Like, they worked well, but maybe you should have given them, like, 5 minutes of training. Given them a brochure.
The one thing I was confused about is towards the end when X is like driving around looking for his buddy, he keeps yelling, he's like, TJ, TJ. And I was like, at what point did you guys learn each other's names? Like, at what point were you guys able to like sit down and have a conversation and a little get to know you? Because from what I've seen, they've always been unconscious, and there's no indication that they knew each other beforehand.
Yeah, no, we get, hey, you guys do the diner thing too. I live for this shit, and then we're in it. You know, hey, these are cocaine plants. Oh, we're in Colombia. Yeah, because they take off across the river, and he stands there just waiting for them because he thinks it's a scam. Then he wakes up bound up. Yeah, you're right. There is no, yeah, I don't know. It's in the deleted scenes.
Yeah, must be. I'll have to go back.
He's all pissed off though because he was thrown into this situation, and Sam Jackson shows up. And you know, and we get a dick measuring contest scene where they're trying to show who's the bigger dick. And but Sam Jackson basically recruits Xander at this point. And so he has to go to this mission where he has to cooperate with the Czech police. Do you think any of this was just Vin Diesel being like, "Hey, I want to see more of the world." Like that's almost what it is at this point with his movies. Is it's like, I want to travel to these exotic locations and I'm going to get them to pay for it. Bora Bora at the end. Like they end up in Bora Bora and it's just this one scene, but they actually went to Bora Bora and film. So it's like, okay, well, free vacation for Vin Diesel, I guess, to Bora Bora.
Yeah, I wonder how. Like, I mean, all I can really say is if I were Vin Diesel, I would probably do the same thing.
Yeah. Because I mean he's always in Brazil or Germany or something with, you know, Fast and the Furious, so
Yeah, I was gonna say Bora Bora seems on brand for him. Prague doesn't really seem like he seems like he's more of a warmer climate type of guy, but.
yeah. I don't know. He rocks that fur coat though, that you know, sheepskin coat.
Yeah, that was that. I mean,
That's a
back in the
look.
day, man, that's a look. That's a vibe right there. That note,
Yeah.
that shirtless fur jacket. I would have given a lot of money to have one of those. Not sure that I could have pulled it off the same way, but still.
Yeah, no, I've got a jacket that's similar, but it's not as fluffy. But yeah, I have a lambskin jacket or something that I inherited. Very nice jacket. And a friend of mine once called it my Vin Diesel coat. So
Nice.
now upon rewatching this movie, now I get it a bit more because it would have been around this time period.
Should text them and be like, "Oh, I finally understand that reference."
Okay, so he gets to Czechoslovakia. He gets all his, you know, we get to meet the Triple X equivalent of Q, and we get to see all his new gadgets and everything like that. But I like how once they start the mission, he immediately throws the Czechoslovakian cop under the bus and.
Yeah. I mean, I called out the poor thought process on the part of the spy at the beginning, but I
With
think
the tuxedo, yeah.
yeah, but I think for Xander's part, like he makes a lot of mistakes when it comes to this Czechoslovakian cop.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a good, like, obviously great move to just throw him under the bus so you can get in, but not a lot of foresight in just like, I don't know, everything I ever see about Eastern European police is that they're corrupt as shit, and so I don't know that I would trust this guy to not go behind my back.
Yeah, probably not.
And then, I mean, like, spoiler alert, but later on, guess what happens? He does go behind his back, but even in that part of the movie, like, he had to know that when he uses the blank, like, blood splatter bullet,
yeah,
that now there was a ticking clock on his, like, because he never even communicates with the guy afterwards to be like, hey, just lie low. Like, yeah. I had to do that for, like, he just goes on with his life.
Keep appearances, yeah. Yeah, he's... That's his problem, is he's a poor communicator with this guy. Like, that, when the guy turns, he wasn't always dirty. Like, it's basically Vin Diesel pushed him too far, and he's like, fuck this, I'm going over to the other side, because this guy keeps shooting me in the back and like, throwing me under the bus. Fuck this guy. Like, that's all it is. It's a situation of a man that's been pushed too far.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel created this villain.
Yeah, it's like 300. Should just let the gimp join you.
That's right. Yeah. I do like the different bullets, though. Those are a lot of fun. Yeah.
I kind of wish they would have done more with that. Like, did a little bit more and shown what all the different ones were.
Yeah. I do like the repeating gag of the darts, though. Yeah, yeah, I know what those ones are. I know what those ones are. That's good.
Also, I like the bandage bombs. I thought those are cool.
Yeah.
Although I kind of wish you would have put them on somebody. I thought that would have been funny.
So, this movie, I mean, it seems like the type that would have done that. You're right. That's a bit of a missed opportunity. So I was under the impression that the chick was dating the Yorgi. But
yeah, I remember that being more Elena. Clear when I was younger.
Yeah.
But watching it this go around, I was like, oh yeah, it's never really, it's pretty ambiguous what her relationship is to him.
Yeah, at least at first, yeah. Apparently, Yorgi could have been played by Ewan McGregor. They offered him the part.
Yeah, I read that in the alternate casting that
Eric,
like,
Bana?
Xander was gonna be, they offered it to Eric Bana.
Yeah.
And I could not fathom that. I couldn't picture anybody, like, maybe now I could picture The Rock, but like, I don't know, I couldn't picture anybody else of that era as Triple X, as Xander.
Yeah, that was a weird one to me. Yeah.
I think I could see you in, if it was, if he was more of like a, not a Russian spy, but maybe like a British, like I could see Ewan McGregor being a good like villain in this movie.
Yeah.
I liked him as Black Mask, and that was probably the only thing I liked about the Birds of Prey movie.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that it would have been interesting to have, maybe to have Xan, but I guess that kind of defeats the point. They should have done a Triple X movie where Xander goes against like just a stereotypical Bond villain,
some like Blumfield type villain with
Christoph
the cat
Waltz
and everything.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When Xander though decides that Yelena is not dating Yorgi and starts kissing her. That's the most uncomfortable looking kiss ever.
All their kisses are like,
he's a very
ridiculously aggressive and weird.
Yeah, fish lipped and yeah,
and so much tongue,
biting motion. Yeah, yeah, they're not pretty movie kisses. So yeah, Vin Diesel needs to check himself on the kissing. or at least as Triple X. I don't know. Is he a better kisser in Fast and the Furious?
I don't know that he... Well, we watched... Really, the only scene I can think about where he kisses somebody is that, like, scene in the very first one, which we watched, where it's, like...
And it's weird silhouetted.
Yeah, but all I really remember him is grabbing Michelle Rodriguez's butt in that scene. Yeah. I think we missed the line you wanted to talk about. The... Make sure you... If you want to send somebody the...
Oh, yeah, okay, so... Yeah, if you make sure... I have to go back and find
If you it. Want to send somebody to save the world, make sure they like it the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just... That line's just weird to me. I don't know. I mean...
I think it just speaks to the anti-establishment nature. It's just that punk rock, like, sentiment of... I don't know. He, like... I mean, it's hard to view Xander Cage as, like, the little guy who, like, never got his way and, like, struggled under the foot of the man. Yeah. He doesn't really give me that type of vibe, but...
No, and I guess with what his whole statement with the senator guy in the beginning, stealing his car, I mean, that's him sticking it to the man. So I guess, yeah, it was a very clunky line. I didn't like it.
I think it's one of those things that sounds... Like, it sounds profound, maybe, like, when you just hear it, like, in passing, but when you hear it a second time or actually, like, think about it at any point, you're like, it's just stupid.
Yeah. Thank God I didn't get it tattooed on my body. Fuck.
Yeah. No regrets.
not a single R, eh?
But that's only the second best line of the movie, because I think after the part we're in now, after he gets in with Anarchy 99 and goes to the house party, we get the scene where he walks into his new room and there's just some, I don't know, lady of the night waiting for him, pole dancing on his bed. And then we get the iconic, the things I'm going to do for my country.
he's just full of one-liners, you know. I am Groot, like he's.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the position that if anybody wants to understand what toxic masculinity is, watch this movie. And this is exactly this movie is toxic masculinity. And I don't know that there is a best way. I'm not saying I don't like the movie. But, like, I feel like when people talk about toxic masculinity, this is what they're talking about.
Are you saying that Yelena, when she says, did you like that? He goes, yeah. Good, because it'll never happen again. And then later on just flips and says, you remember that thing I said would never happen again? Yeah. Yeah.
I lied.
Yeah. So you're saying that's toxic? What?
What? What?
Yeah. So confused.
Yeah, the vineyards.
But so they go to lunch instead. They go to a nice fancy restaurant. See, and this is where the tuxedo guy would have probably blended in better. You know, this restaurant seems a little too fancy for Vin Diesel in his muscle shirts.
Well, I mean, come on, he still has his sweet coat on here.
Yeah. But the sniper guy, he calls Yelena and says, hey, just bring him outside, and then puts a lit cigarette behind his ear and waits for Vin Diesel to come outside. Why are you putting a lit cigarette behind your ear?
Because he's always smoking. He loves smoke more than he loves oxygen.
Oh my God, does he ever. Oh my God, yeah.
That's another thing about this movie. I didn't realize how fast... I thought that Xander was, like, in Anarchy 99 longer than he actually is.
Oh, his cover gets blown fast.
Like, his cover gets blown so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And he gets the daring serving tray escape that he's got going on, where he's, like, surfing down the railings on a serving tray. Really? Vin Diesel did most of his own stunts? Really? Really?
Well, I mean, I would question whether or not that's even a stunt. Because that has to be, like, one of the choppiest looking scenes in the movie. Every time I watch it, there's just something weird about it. It doesn't even look real. It almost looks like they took a photograph of him on a tray and then photoshopped it into the video of him sliding down. Like, it doesn't even look. It's something about it just never looks right.
Because he's been compromised, when he gets to his car, Gibbons abducts him instead, gives him a ticket home. But we find out later that he's just like reverse psychologizing him. You know, he's just like, no, I knew that if I like his cover story. It's like, I knew all along that you would stay and do it. Like, I knew it was like, it was reverse psychology the whole time.
Mm-hmm. That's how you have to handle these types of people. That's these Gen Xers.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to make them think it was their own idea.
That's right. No, I sent Yelena back in for you.
I mean, also excellent name. Like, I love, like, Anarchy 99, great name for a gang. Really yeah. Awesome. Silent Night, amazing, amazing, amazing name for, like, a new chemical weapon that's going to kill everybody. I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Even Ahab, great name for a drone.
for a water-based drone.
A water-based yeah. drone, yes. Maybe instead of saying welcome to the Xander Zone when he took Ahab down, he should have just said, call me Ishmael.
But you think Vin Diesel has read a book?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I haven't even read beyond the first line of Moby Dick.
That's true. I haven't even read the first line of Moby Dick. I've only ever heard the first line of Moby Dick, yeah. So he goes to rescue Yelena and uses all his little gadgets, starts tranking his way in. You know, that's actually pretty thoughtful. You know, you're not killing off all of this guy's guards. These henchmen get to go home to their families tonight. So good for them. But I want to know the science behind the X-ray goggles. Like, this is a laughably impossible science that we're dealing with on this one, which goes back to my idea of, is there a little bit of Austin Powers in this movie?
Like, I would say that this movie it's like an alternate stream of Austin Powers. Like, part of it is still parody, I think.
It's more like a Kingsman.
Yeah.
Kingsman is more of a, you know, yeah, they're having fun with the genre. So, okay. I guess I can get behind that. But, I mean, like, you're taking clear pictures through a brick wall. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. That seems one step too far. There should have been a fishing of a wire through a vent or something. That should have been what was going on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, some things are just beyond belief.
And we get to see the bad guys murder all the scientists with the biological weapons. Wow, that's a dark scene. Jeez.
But yeah, it's like any scene in a movie that centers around underground, like, drug distribution, and they'll always have, like, the women who are, like, naked. Because it's like they can't just run out and go spill the beans.
That's right.
For fear of being shamed. It always there's something about that always makes me so uncomfortable. I'm just like, oh, this is next level dark. Like, how do you know that this is how it happens?
Yeah. But, you know, no matter what, at least it leads to some more motocross action. You know, we got to escape with some more motocross stunts.
But then Xander gets back to the base, and all of a sudden, like, he's in charge. Like, he's the number one guy with all the information. He's right? Putting the team together,
he's
getting
full on in charge,
getting the strategies going. And you're like, where is like, what command?
This like, is why it would be nice if he was like some ex, you know,
ex-military.
Dark ops.
Yeah,
yeah, like, yeah.
He should that definitely should be part of his backstory, because it would just lend some sort of credibility to scenes like this where he's
the strategist. You know,
he's got like a full on diagram of the mountain, knows where radio towers are, and it's like
yeah, because his plan starts with him jumping out of a plane, of course,
mm-hmm.
you know, and snowboarding down a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it was almost like this movie was like, how many different kinds of extreme sports can we throw in? You know, like even the tray sliding down the banister, that's like, you know, the closest they get to skateboarding in this movie without him ever being on a skateboard. But, you know, at least we've got some extreme, him outrunning an avalanche on a mountain.
Using an avalanche to basically accomplish his military strategies.
Yeah, he's surfing. He's just surfing this wave of avalanche, you know, snow, and somehow manages to catch on to the top of the radio tower, which is just high enough to keep him protected. Man, like, was he doing like trigonometry on that board that I didn't see, where he figured out the exact science of, oh wait, I need the medium size charges because the large ones will make too much snow. I won't be able to grab onto this antenna.
Mm-hmm. Then we get the third best line of the movie. Nothing like fresh powder.
Nothing like fresh powder. Oh boy. But I guess a cool way to knock out a communication tower. I mean, no matter what, this movie fucking went for it. You know, like, they're like, well, what can we do that hasn't been done in any James Bond movies, but we wish has been? Yeah. But, of course, because Xander sucks at this, he gets captured once again. I don't know, a little training would have been nice. He's always getting captured.
Yeah, he hasn't mastered that aspect of spying.
No. Like, do you always want to be the guy that has to escape? Of course, I guess James Bond gets caught a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
They all get caught a lot. Just seems excessive in this one. But, and then after the villain monologues, the police come to the rescue. Like, just plain old, everyday police come to the rescue.
I don't know. I gotta say, I really like Yorgi as a villain. I thought that actor was awesome in that role.
Yeah.
But I'm not happy with the way that he gets taken out at the end. It's kind of reminded me of what Die Hard are we at? We just watched Die Hard 3. It kind of reminded me of the end of Die Hard 3, where I wanted that face to face, like more physical, like, confrontation. Not this just weird, I'm gonna be a good old boy American and shoot you with my gun and send you. It is actually almost the exact same as Die Hard 3 now that I think about it. It's just Yorgi's in a boat and the other guy was in a plane or a helicopter.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, he almost got crushed by that big wall coming down or the big door coming down. So he did risk his life for his country.
He did. I felt like he didn't. Like, if he was just a better shot, I don't know what to say. Like, it seemed like, or could he have not just gone a little bit like out? Like, was there any reason why he needed to stay in that cave? Could he not have just like gone out?
Yeah. No, that was the perfect prone position right there. Like, it was too...
Well, exactly. His military training kicked in. He was like, I need this.
Yeah, but it wasn't level, for, you know, if he had crawled more forward, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
You know, one missed opportunity is the fact that when he takes the guy out with the heat-seeking missile, the cigarette guy, he's smoking! Yeah, because these cops are carrying a heat seeker for some reason. But where was the line? I mean, this is, you know, the fourth best line in the movie, where it's about the, you know, you gotta stop thinking, you gotta start thinking PlayStation, stop thinking police procedure. But where was the line where he goes, you know, smoking will kill ya or something like that? Where was that line in this movie?
That line's there. After he blows him up, he says, I told him those things were going to kill him.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I must have missed that. I was too busy with the PlayStation line.
other, like, I don't know. I don't know, like, the functionality of heat-seeking missiles, but the human body is pretty hot, and there's a whole group of them right there. Like, how did they know that that, like... Like, is it... Are heat-seeking missiles... I mean, I know that in jets, they go after, jet flame, but I don't, like... Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be super confident that the tiny little ember of a cigarette is going to attract a heat-seeking missile.
Yeah, the Mythbusters have actually tested whether a cigarette can light a trail of gasoline, and even then it gets snuffed out. So it's not a huge amount of heat that's coming off that. I agree with you. I really don't think the ember of a cigarette is enough to out of everything in that, like the pipes he's lying in, are those heat pipes? Like, are they hot water pipes that he's lying in?
Or even how many rounds have these guns shot off? Because I'm pretty sure, like,
the barrels of all of them are hot. Yeah.
It would be pretty hot.
Nope, the cigarette. It's a very fine tuned heat seeker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like how a smoke detector in a house doesn't go off with cigarette smoke, but it goes off with other kinds of smoke. You know, it's able to distinguish the heat, the source of the heat.
Yeah, I mean, at least they needed some way to get rid of that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess it works.
It works, yeah. And then we get a car chase of him trying to chase down Ahab because Ahab has been let loose. Pretty impressive that he can keep up with this thing on some of those roads.
Mm-hmm. And those poor people, they're like dealing with what looks like a terrible car accident. They just get their hay bales and carts
potatoes,
blown up.
Their potatoes. Yeah.
Also, like, what is that town still living in the 1800s?
I think so. Yes.
What's happening there?
Yeah. I'm surprised it wasn't like a horse accident. Yeah, it was actually trucks. Yeah.
The ending of this movie, I also feel like people won't understand, but it's so post 9/11, this like American flag parachute thing that comes up, like, it's just.
Yeah, I,
oh,
I wrote
Lord.
That down.
Like,
I don't think an action movie
like pre-2010 could not end with some American flag device waving to cap the movie off.
Yeah. I still love, though, how nothing in this car is useful. Oh, except the roof ejection. But it's like, even the harpoon that he's got just happened to be a harpoon that he had. It wasn't, like, part of the car.
I mean, I guess the rockets prove useful to clear the road, but...
Yeah.
But it is surprising that they go through the trouble of showing you that giant table of stuff to put in the car, and he really only uses three things.
Yeah.
At the end.
And a couple of them are by accident, or one of them's by accident.
Yeah.
Oh, and also with, you know, like you say, those poor people, I also like how they keep humanizing the plot by making sure they keep flashing back to, like, children playing in the street and,
and all the statues of Jesus and angels and you're like,
all the people just unaware going about their day.
Yeah
they don't realize how close they are to death.
That's a definite that's a cinematic device that I haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah,
but I enjoyed it. Yeah. it just makes the gravity of the situation so much.
Well, and the zip line down the parachute onto the rocket is pretty cool too.
I was wondering if that would work. I mean, I guess if the thing is going fast, but like, I don't know. I don't know the physics how the physics of that, like, how his body weight.
It feels like it should sag more than it did, but I if it's taut,
yeah,
I mean, because it is pulled as tight as it will go, so it might work.
Yeah, it just seems to me like if say like the parachute, if he's at where the parachute end, as soon as he lets go, wouldn't his weight should just pull the entire thing down?
I don't know.
It just seems like that would have to be a pretty powerful lever, like, because the only reason like a zipline normally works is that the parachute side is attached to a wall, so it can't fall down with your weight.
Yeah.
And then you go, so then you have the momentum to go forward. But I feel like, I don't know, I don't know that the air of the parachute could hold that stability. Well, Mythbusters, get on it. Thanks.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I, for some reason, I think of it in my head and it works. So, but I understand what you're saying, and I also see how it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really don't know. I don't have an answer of where I would fall on my hypothesis of that situation.
My hypothesis is doesn't work.
Yeah. One thing that I wondered about was the fact that, you know, this thing goes under the bridge and he ziplines down onto it. Doesn't that parachute, like, hook on the edge of the bridge? How does that rocket not change direction at all?
I mean, not to be a downer, but a stuntman did die doing this stunt because of that, like, exact thing, basically. But, yeah, I don't know. You would think, like, you're right. He doesn't disconnect the parachute.
Yeah.
And so you'd think that when it hits the bridge, I mean, at the very least, it would whip something.
Okay, now here's a question for you with the fact that this is something I didn't think of like just a minute ago. With the fact that a stuntman did it, how did they hold the end of the parachute if it wasn't something that was done practically? Did they have a helicopter over top holding on to the parachute from the other end?
Good call. I don't know.
He must have done it practically, right?
Yeah, I wonder if they had some... Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's not CGI if someone died doing it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely done practically. But I don't know. I would be curious to know if they had some sort of assist to hold the end of that line steady.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, anyway, welcome to the Xander Zone. He pulls out the hard drive and saves the day. But, okay, I don't understand this concoction of chemicals. Okay, so if it mixes, but then it gets into the water, it becomes useless again?
Yeah, they briefly gloss over something about, like, how if it detonates at, like in deep water, like, it won't be bad.
Yeah. Because he ends up diving this thing down into the river, and like it's like, isn't that the drinking water for the city? So isn't this thing still released? Because the chemicals were mixing in the rockets. It's like the Die Hard thing where the two chemicals mix together. Now it's a volatile chemical, isn't it? But he lets it detonate in the river. But, I mean, he does show, like, at the, you know, when he gases the scientist, the bad guy, Yorgi, does show that you have to filter the gas back through the water to separate it again.
Yeah, I can't. I know they, like, kind of mentioned something for it to make sense, but so, I don't remember specifically what it.
Ultimately, what this city is not poisoned, then. We're this city is still safe to drink water for another day.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Ultimately, the day is saved.
Well, it must, because he ends up in Bora Bora. and then like Gibbons calls him and teases a sequel that didn't happen with him. And then to make it even more like a James Bond movie, the closing credits are like the same sort of thing that you would see with a James Bond opening credits, you know, where it's like weird kaleidoscope type things where guns are separating and stuff. but it's like more, you know, heavy metal.
Yeah, even the end of the movie where it shows them like jumping into the water, and then it has that weird toilet bowl draining CGI effect. That reminded me of a James Bond, and they have some kind of weird, you know, off-brand James Bond-esque theme playing out the movie in that scene.
So it's really just, it's got to be a tongue-in-cheek nature. They really are just playing with this. It's James Bond, America!
Yeah, basically.
Well, there we go. That's XXX. Now, Colin, on IMDb, it scored 5.8 out of 10. Ouch. And a Metascore of 48. Oh, ouch. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 48 and on the 48% on the tomato meter. And, wow, identical scores, 58% from audiences on Rotten Tomatoes. So, yeah, 5.8 and 58% from audiences, 48 and 48. But, Colin, those are just numbers. Like a fist fight with Vin Diesel. Hit us with some reviews.
All right, Austin the 007 fan says, 4 out of 5 stars. This film was actually not that bad, in my opinion. Although some people thought it was a bit cheesy, the action scenes are a lot of fun and exciting to watch. Vin Diesel also delivers his great performance as Xander Cage, an American secret agent and adrenaline sports junkie version of James Bond and Ethan Hunt on steroids. The music was good, the acting was good, the story and plot is simple and decent, the stunts are breathtaking and heart-pounding to watch, the locations are pretty exotic, and Samuel L. Jackson was like a scene-stealing machine.
I will say, like, when he says that, like, Vin Diesel was really good, there is definitely a lot more to this performance than there is with something like Dominic Toretto. You know, like,
he actually talks?
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to think. I don't know that I've seen a Vin Diesel movie recently where he talks as much as he does in this one and has, like, legitimate dialogue and not just grunts or I am Groots.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I think that's why when he's doing his live stream in the Corvette, I kind of glossed over what he was actually saying this guy did, because I was just more taken aback by, holy shit. He had a monologue to remember. Like, I've never heard Vin Diesel talk this much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Daisy Howard says, 1 out of 5 stars. I like Vin Diesel, but how does he get away with it? When you see Samuel L. Jackson and you settle into the sofa a little more confident of at least 2 hours of fun and excitement. But no. The script was written by a 4-year-old or I'm a potato. It was sort of fun at the beginning, then it just gets way too ridiculous to stick with it even for a laugh. It's not even so wonderfully bad it becomes good, it's just silly. Question, does it cost me more to write a decent script that doesn't keep making you roll your eyes at the ham acting, dodgy Russian accents, and romance cliches? If so, I wish they would pay the extra £20 and put something on there that's not stupid. Something out there that's not stupid.
Okay.
Daisy didn't like it.
Daisy didn't like it.
Lucifer Corvus, a.k.a. Dunkle Dog, gave the movie 4 out of 5 stars and says, thought it was a pretty good movie, even if it doesn't have much plot or much character development, according to other reviews. The action is still pretty entertaining.
Dunkle Dog or whatever.
Dunkle Dog. I didn't even check the Rotten Tomatoes reviews. What do the people have to say?
Well, 58% from the people, so.
this nameless person says 0.5 out of 5 stars. The worst 2 hours and 4 minutes ever. And then that's followed by like 20 exclamation points. Vin Diesel and Samuel Leroy Jackson didn't even try, which is followed by another 30 exclamation points. Ooh, this is a bad one. 2 out of 5 stars. It passed the time. But so does a root canal.
Oh, wow. Wow. I don't know. Exclamation point guy there. That's someone that rented the movie.
And you know what? I'll cap it off with this kind of speaks to our point that we were just saying. This nameless person gives it 2 out of 5 stars and says, I think Diesel has some actual charisma here. Don't get me wrong. It's dumb, but he's not so dumb in it.
Right on, yes. good one to go out on. Well, yeah, so 58 from audiences and 48 from critics. You know, I had fun. Like, that's the thing, no matter what. It was cheeky. There's certain movies that I usually get a kick out of, and a heist movie is one of them, and a spy genre movie is another one, like a James Bond type, you know, Mission Impossible type movie. Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it. Vin Diesel was Vin Diesel. It was incredible action. No matter what, I give it up huge for the stunts, because it was exciting to watch. It was a loud, pulsating movie. It was, like you said earlier, a time capsule of the time. And the toxic masculinity aside, it was what my masculine side needed. It needed a shot of triple X adrenaline. I'm glad I entered the Xander Zone. It's not a good movie, but it's a fun, exciting movie.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. No,
that's
not
triple X for me.
Yeah, it's not a good movie, but it's definitely a fun movie. Like, if they put this movie on the big screen, like if they were doing one of those, I don't know, classic movie nights at Cineplex, and this movie was there, I would be so there for it.
Yeah,
to watch this movie on the big screen again. I think it would be so much fun. I think that, again, in my mind, it's unfortunate that we didn't get a full Xander Cage XXX, like, trilogy. I honestly think, you know, I think that Vin Diesel took the best things from XXX and infused it into the Fast and the Furious, so all is not lost there. But I really like the character of Xander Cage, and I would definitely be down for more XXX movies.
Well, you know, he does need something to do after Fast 11.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's like, lost his Marvel job. He's lost his Fast and the Furious job.
If there was one thing that might make me just like explode, like the last thing that exploded my brain in a movie theater was, you know, Avengers Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah.
But if there's one thing that could do it again, it would be if the next trailer for Fast and the Furious comes out and it says Fast X, and then I get two more X's on the side, and then holy shit, it's Dominic Toretto versus Xander Cage, the matchup I've always wanted to see.
Oh my god, yes! Bring them into the same universe.
Then I would just, I think I might just have to die at that point, a happy man.
And what are they, long lost twin brothers? Like, you have to explain that they look the same.
Yeah.
Right? It's all about family, so he's just found more family.
Yeah, like Xander Cage is literally just a pseudonym. It's just like a stage name, but his real name's like Xander Toretto.
Nice.
But yeah, long story short, this movie has massive amounts of nostalgia for me. I'll never hate it. It's not a great movie, but I still love it.
Yeah. No. A lot of fun. Well, there we go. That's XXX, and that's our show for this week. Oh boy, if you like that show, well, why don't you subscribe to it? You know, go check that subscribe button on whatever app you listen to your podcasts on. Or, you know, while you're there, go give us 5 stars and help use the science of algorithms to help drive us up the charts, help us get noticed. Or just tell someone. Word of mouth goes a long way for a podcast trying to find an audience. You know, just tell someone, and it means a lot more coming from you personally. Or if you want to go a step even further, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne, become part of our Patreon family, and you become an executive producer and get a shout out, just like executive producer Joshua Blum from the 13th Hour Podcast.
And be sure to check out our website, www.IUsedToLikeThisOne.com. where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes and social media pages, and drop us a line at iuselikethisone@gmail.com. Let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about it on the show.
I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. If you'd like to hear more from me and my stories of being a bus driver, check out my other podcast, In Front of the Yellow Line, anywhere pods are cast. Thank you for listening, and join us next time when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One. Like a stuntman hitting a bridge? No! No!
No. No. No.